Hello, Main Menu listeners. My name is Matthew Bullis from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm back on Main Menu, this time with about the best-sounding review I've ever done because I've moved my things into a quiet room and I don't have to have my computer on to do this review. I'm just recording into my mini-disc recorder. The thing I'm reviewing today is the RealVolt SP250 MP3 CD player and FM radio. Now, a few blind people have this and say it's reasonably accessible, and I'm here to show you just how accessible and how, in some parts, inaccessible the unit is, but I really enjoy it. I see that there's no reason why you shouldn't buy it. Even though there are some things that are inaccessible, you can either do without them or work around them, or you can always get sighted assistance with it. But the sighted assistance is minimal, so I should start off by telling you that the general price for this unit is about $200, or $150, $200, but it's easy enough to get it from Amazon or eBay for less than that. The thing you want to be aware of are the refurbished units that you find on eBay. Now, if one listing hadn't been very explicit about what it had, I wouldn't have known the difference. The thing with the refurbished units is that they're sealed back up, but they often don't include important things like the AC adapter. Now, if you're getting into upgrading the firmware, and if you want to recharge the batteries that are in it, then you need the adapter. So, you need to be aware of the refurbished units. I'm told you can buy the adapter separately, but the last time I checked, they were out of stock on that. So you just want to be aware of that. I should tell you what you should get when you get the box. I bought this from a seller, and they listed exactly what they had and what they didn't have. I got it at a good price. This seller didn't have the earphones. I didn't need the earphones with it. I had enough of my own. The package comes with two types of listening devices. I say listening devices. There's earphones and there's headphones. Since this seller didn't have them, I don't know exactly what they're like, but I guess one's the Bud style and one's the headphones. So you can choose those or use your own. You get a carry strap with a carrying case that can clip on your belt. And the carrying strap is like a thin camera strap. And for some reason, the belt clip case points the unit down. But I guess if that's the way they want to do it, then that's the way it's manufactured. You also get a remote control, which is quite nice. In fact, I like it better than the actual joypad on the unit itself. You get two rechargeable batteries and the AC adapter. And the rechargeable batteries will last you on an MP3 CD up to 15 hours. But on an audio CD, since the audio CD spins all the time, you get about 6 to 8 hours. Because the MP3 CD stores up audio in memory, and it will sit still and won't spin for several minutes. Along with that, you also get a software CD, which, if you like Real Jukebox and things like iTunes or whatever, you might want to install those. You get free copies of the software, which I think is about a $40 or $50 value, but I personally don't use it. So you can if you want, but you don't have to install it. There's no transfer manager or anything like that you have to install. The firmware that I had on the unit when I got it is 1.0, but the latest version is 2.5. The firmware can be had from the support section of the website. It's a little bit difficult to get to, but once you get into the support section of RealHome.com, RealVolt.com, or SonicBlue.com, they're all the same, you can navigate to the firmware. You can also download the manual, which is just a bit out of date, and the problem with the manual is that it'll say press to activate. Well, there's supposed to be something between the press and the two. They use symbols, which the document can't translate. So you just have to guess, or you have to have a sighted person read the manual and tell you what the symbols are. There's one thing that the manual does say that you need to be aware of. If you make a mixed mode CD and you have MP3s on it as well as audio data, it's only going to play the audio portion of the CD because that's the first portion on the CD. So either decide to make an audio CD or make a data CD. Another thing I found in the manual that's not updated was that it said that this can handle MP3 bit rates from 32 to 320 kbps. But I put a disc in last night that had MP3s that were 8-bit. Now, admittedly, that's terrible quality, but it at least will play it. So they must have updated the firmware, because the firmware guide that I found, by the way, was 1.0. They obviously didn't update that. So things you find on the website are a little outdated. So the latest version of firmware is 2.5 at this recording. And what you do with the firmware is you burn that file onto a CD. Now, if you can possibly manage it, burn it onto a rewritable CD, because the firmware is so small, it's like 600K, that you'll otherwise waste the CD, because the firmware can be the only thing on the disc that the RealVolt will play. The unit will not read any MP3 or WMA files. If it sees the firmware, it'll just update the firmware. Updating the firmware will reset all the values This unit remembers positions in CDs, the last 10 CDs that you have. And it also will update all your menu settings. It'll reset them to their defaults. So either get Sighted Assistance on the menus after you update the firmware, or have them do it again. A thing about updating the firmware that you need to do, and is very important, is to plug it into the wall. That's the reason you need the AC adapter, and to beware of those refurbished units. If power is lost while this firmware is being updated, this unit may be permanently non-functioning. It only takes a minute, and it says on the display, "Do not touch while this firmware is updating." The screen will clear after it's done. I wish it would say complete or something, but it doesn't say it on the screen. It'll just stop. It won't beep at you like I hoped it would. You'll just hear a bop. It'll turn off when it's done, and the CD will stop spinning. I thought that when I was going to do this review that I was going to have to spend a lot of time configuring the menus and showing you press this button twice, press this button again. If I was reviewing my mini-disc recorder that I'm recording into right now, I would actually have to do that. I would have to tell you, press the menu button twice, press this button three times, press the menu button again. But it turns out that if you get Sighted Assistance on the menus once, you just pretty much leave the unit. And you can actually get by without setting any menu options at all. But you may have personal preferences that you wish to set. There are also other menu options that you may want to fool around with. There's some defaults that I don't like. There's a track fade-in, which I had turned off, which fades up the track from nothing to regular volume. I don't particularly like that. There's also the scan speed you may want to fool around with. I enjoy speed too. There's the study mode if you set a lot of bookmarks that Michael Lang did in the December 18th, 2002 main menu archive. So if you enjoy something like that, you may want to go back and listen to his review. It's about 25 minutes. They do have that in the RioVolt firmware, although the study mode, you'll find it in the menu options, and it'll be, I think he says it's 1, 2, and 3 mode. They've made it more clear. In this mode, it's 5 seconds, 10 seconds in beep mode. So you may want to go back and listen to that if you're into setting bookmarks and things. At this point, I'm going to describe this unit. As I said, it's an audio CD player, MP3 and WMA file player, as well as an FM tuner. I'm holding the unit in my hand, and again, this is the SP250. This is their top-of-the-line model, although they're coming out with things like SP350 and things like that. And this is the Sonic Blue RioVolt. Michael Lang reviewed the study mode of the iRiver players, and the firmware is similar. But my review, I hope to tell you the features that are accessible and point out the tips and tricks that I've found. Okay, holding the unit in my hand, it's a strange-shaped unit. If you were to trace this with a pencil, it would look like a pear. It's got the regular round CD player part, but then it tapers off into a square. Along the front, if you've got this laying down on the table, which I currently don't, I have it angled away from me, holding it in my hand, you have your open button, which is a slide switch. It moves to the right, and that's on the front of the unit. Not on the top, but on the front side of the unit. Almost covered by the remote control that I have plugged in that came with the unit is the hold switch. Now there's a hold switch on the remote control and there's a hold switch on the unit. Now one does not affect the other, so if you put hold on the unit itself, you can still use the remote control and you can put hold on the remote control and it will still let you operate the unit. This doesn't turn off the unit, it just puts it so the buttons can't be moved, nothing can be changed. Okay, I'm going to describe along the front of the unit as well the jacks that you have. If you're holding it like I said, the first jack you come to right after the hold button, it's the first jack and it's the one that's towards you, is going to be the earphone jack. The next one is a smaller jack and it's recessed in there. It's the remote control jack. And then you'll find a space that's nothing. It's the end of that little area. And the whole remote control is a molded plug that plugs right into the thing. So it'll cover all the spaces that it needs once you plug that in. After that, a little ways on, is the line-out plug-in. That's the same as the earphone except for that it's a lower volume. It's not amplified. After that, and the last plug-in, is your AC adapter. If we're starting on the right, on the top side of the unit, you'll find the circle. That's the joypad. And that's why I say I like the remote control better than this joypad, because this does not have markings to tell you exactly where the buttons are. It's just a circle. It's nice to feel, but it's not nice, it's not as nice to press on because the buttons are angled a little bit. You can do it, certainly, but your hand just has to get used to it. It's like playing guitar or other instruments. Your hand just has to get used to where you're going. There is a window. It's got two areas, one a little larger than the other. It allows you to see the disc spinning. That's down at the bottom of the unit. There's a square display, the LCD display. And then you have four buttons on the left side. They kind of angle up, and we're going towards you to the back of the unit. So the first button you come to is plus 10. I'll explain about that in a little while. The next button you come to is the program button. And other than one feature, it's a little complicated to use. So it's best that you just use it for the one feature. I'll explain. Next button is the mode button. I don't use that because you get confused. That's like shuffle modes and things. The last button is the CD-FM button. Press that to switch from CD to FM. The plus 10 button also doubles as the equalizer button, but I have found that that's a little bit inaccessible as far as finding the user presets. You can switch between the factory defaults that they have by holding the plus 10 button in for a second and a half, and then you cycle through it. Once you find the one you want, you just can leave it there, and it'll select it eventually. On the right side above the joypad, across from these buttons on the left, you have a rocker switch. It's the volume switch, and after you update the firmware, your volume's going to be kind of low, so hold this in and turn it up. Now, that's all a volume switch does. In other words, it doesn't function as any menu button will. Above the volume switch, we have a small button. That's the Navi / menu key, and the Navi feature is for sighted people to look through your folders and select a file to play. But you can't use that if you can't see it. So you hold this button in for a second and a half, and then you get your menu options. Now, even though I said get sighted assistance for the menus, I'm going to explain how you actually select menu options so that a sighted person that you get to help you with this won't have to read the manual to understand how the menus work. Once you hold this button in for a second and a half, you'll get the menu tabs. Now, it's like property sheets in Windows. You right arrow through the tabs. If you don't want to change anything in the first tab, you just hit right arrow, but you most likely will. So hit play to get into that tab. Now you're on the first option, which in my case is probably the beep volume, or I think it might be the fade in option. Anyways, whatever the first option you have on your current version of the firmware, because it might change, if you want to go into that and change that, you hit play on that. If it is the beep volume, I like mine at 4. You can also turn it off, but by default, it's on. It's kind of low, but I like to turn mine to 4. If you hit right arrow, in other words, if it's on 1 or 2, if you hit right arrow, you're on 3. If you hit play, you selected that. But unlike menu options that you'd think of, if you hit right arrow and you were on 3, you selected volume 3 for the beep. You hit right arrow, you're on 4. So it's like radio buttons. You keep hitting different radio buttons, you're selecting what you're on right then. So hit play to select that. Now, if you want to actually set that selection, even after you hit play, to confirm that selection, you have to hit stop to back out of that menu. Now you're back in where you were. If you want to go to the next option, you hit right arrow. And you keep doing that with the same option, setting those options and backing out of them to confirm it. If you want to get out of the total menu system, you have to hit stop 2 or 3 times. That's how to navigate the menus, and a sighted person will most likely enjoy the joypad because they can obviously see where they're going with it. Now, while you can adjust the audio shock protection in the menu system from, I think you can turn it totally off to save battery life, you can set it to 45 or 180 seconds. You cannot change the shock protection for MP3 and WMA files. That's set at 8 minutes, which is quite ample, which accounts for the longer battery life. And if you end up hearing the unit spinning and then all of a sudden it stops but your music is still playing, that's fine because the disc will sit still for several minutes. That's the ultimate shock protection, where if it gets bumped or jostled, it will play the music out of memory. There's another option that you definitely won't want to leave off. It's turned off by default, but leave it off. It's a little deceiving as far as the wording of it. It's called auto pause. And what it actually does, it's a visual thing. It will pause between the tracks to show you, it will flash the track info. You don't want that because it's going to hold up your listening. So keep that off. Just want to let you know about that. By default, the track scanning will be on, which means you can skim through a track. Now, some MP3 CD players don't allow you to do this, skipping through an MP3 file, but you can definitely on this. Now, you can change the scan speed, as I said. It goes from anywhere from 1 to 6. I was using it, I wanted it up around 6, but I found that it was way too fast. It jumped too far. I was listening to old-time radio, and it jumped too far over the commercials. For most uses, either the default speed will be fine, or you may want to turn it up to 2 or 4. It's your personal preference. That's the physical description of the unit. Now I'm going to go on to other aspects of the unit. Okay, now here's a neat feature that I really like. Charging this unit, as far as the batteries go, inside the unit will take 6 to 8 hours. To charge this unit, you've got to power the unit off. To do that, you hit stop and hold it. Now, this unit will automatically shut off after a minute of non-use. That's the default value. You can change that if you want. And that also works if you've got it in pause mode. Now, it'll beep at you. I had it on pause when I was listening to a CD, and it'll turn off. That's to save battery life. It'll do it when it's plugged in as well. The thing about the charge mode is that when you power off the unit and you have the adapter plugged in, this is the only time you'll see this menu. It'll pull up a charge menu. The default option is discharge and charge. That means it'll run the batteries down and then recharge them. That helps to calibrate memories of batteries that have the memory effect that if you don't run them down every once in a while, they lose some of the memory off of them. For blind users, it may be a hassle to choose this option because you have to right arrow over to the charge option because you don't want to discharge and charge every time. You only want to do this maybe once a month. So you'd have to right arrow over to charge, select that option, then back out of it and hope you press the right buttons. However, there is a neat feature which is not documented in the manual. What happens after a minute on this charging screen where discharge and charge is the option, it will automatically start charging after 1 minute. Now that I really liked. As a blind user, you can just power off the unit, and if you've got the unit plugged into the wall, you can be assured that it will charge. It will not overcharge the unit. You don't have to worry about ruining your batteries because it'll turn off the unit when it's done. Now, when talking about battery life, this may not be a huge issue, but there are options in the display menu tab that you may want to turn off. There's a backlight, and there's ID3 tag info, and there's also things like turning the LCD on only when the adapter's on, things like that. So choose which ones you think might be best, but if you want to squeeze the most out of your batteries, you may want to turn these off. I don't know how much of a difference it may make, but I choose to turn it off. Here's the advantage of the remote over the unit. As I said, the joypad is a little hard to get used to unless you really work at it. I enjoy using the remote for track manipulation. I'm going to describe the remote now, like I described the player. I'm going to ask that you either clip it on your belt or your shirt collar, or hold it in your hand just like it would be clipped on. You can buy an LCD remote as an upgrade, but as a blind user, I don't see what use this would have unless you are a partially sighted user. I will describe the remote as if it were clipped on your belt or your shirt collar. As I said, the unit comes with a carrying case with a camera strap and a belt clip, so you can have either one. You can either clip it on your belt or hang it around your neck, and your remote control will serve just about every function that you'd need. It can also go through the menus, and it can shuffle modes, and this is a help for most people, but it can be a little bit tricky if you're a visually impaired user. That's why I'm giving you these tips, so that you won't make the mistakes I've made, because I've had to have sighted assistance 3 or 4 times to set this unit, because I've fouled up so many settings on here that I had to upgrade the firmware. I had to find a rewritable CD and upgrade the firmware at least 3 times because I had so many settings that were messed up in the unit. That's a good thing for you, at least, that if you mess up so many settings that you can't get around and you don't know what's happening and you're uncomfortable with it, you can just upgrade the firmware again and all your values will be set back to normal. At least they'll be set back to the defaults. Here's a description of the remote then. If you've got it clipped on your belt or holding it the way I need you to hold it, you'll find a wheel in the left-hand corner. And this wheel is the track manipulation wheel. And you never want to click this wheel or hold it in, because it'll go through the menu structure, and you don't want that because you don't know where you'll be or what settings you'll be changing. There are 2 buttons down the side. one large round button, which is the play pause button, and it serves no other function. Below that is the stop and off button. You can plug your headphones right into the top of this remote, which is what you'd want to do. On the right side, you will find another wheel, and it's not in the corner as the one on the left, but it's part way down. This wheel is the volume wheel, and you will not want to click this wheel. You will only want to hold it in. Because if you click this wheel, you'll be going through the shuffle modes, and you'll get all confused if you're in an MP3 CD. Unless you memorize the shuffle modes, it will be awfully hard for you to get back to where you were, unless you have set a assistance to tell you that you want to set this back to 1. So, with the wheels, don't click the left one, or press and hold it in, because you'll get the menu structure. You only want to turn this. And by clicking, I mean pressing it in. I wanted to clarify that because it will come in handy later when I describe the directory mode, because that's a click, click, hold. That's all there is to the remote, except for there's a hold switch, as I said before, that's below the wheel on the right. And as I said, it's independent from the other hold switch on the unit. You can set one and not the other, or set both. That's for your convenience, and as I said, it won't turn off the unit. It'll just make it so that nothing can be operational. That's handy, especially on the remote, if you've got it in an area where you may bump it or whatever. Okay, now that I've explained a bunch of things, like I always do in all my reviews, let's put this unit through its paces. I'm going to use a remote. As I said, I don't like the joypad as much, but you can use what you like. I need to discuss a unique folder structure, and I kind of wish that they would have updated this in the firmware, and hopefully they will. If you have folders on your CD, like I'll describe the way I have the CD laid out. If you put the CD in and you were to look at it through Windows Explorer, you'd see Gary Stewart, you'd see Live, you'd see Matchbox 20, you'd see Pearl Jam, and those will be folders that you'd find. Now, we take the Gary Stewart folder, and we open it up, and we find that there are several folders beneath that, which are the albums. But just below the albums, folders, you'll see individual MP3 files. Those are singles. So if you have folders laid out like that on any CD, what this will do is go through, and instead of opening up the Gary Stewart folder and playing everything in that folder, what it will do is it will play the individual MP3 files that are just sitting in the root directory of all the folders. So it'll go through and find, okay, there are two or three Gary Stewart files, and we'll play those. And then it'll go to the next folder, which I believe is the Live folder, the band Live, and it'll play the two or three MP3 files in that folder. Then it'll go to the Matchbox 20 folder and play the two or three files in there. It'll go through all these folders on the CD and play the individual files from the root directories of those folders. Then it'll go back up to the Gary Stewart folder, open the first folder, which happens to be the Brotherly Love album with Dean Dillon, and it'll play it all the way through that. Then it'll go to the next album on Gary Stewart, play that. It'll go through the rest of the Gary Stewart folder, then it will go to the Live folder and play the first show in there. So it has that unique folder structure, which I was confused by at first, but I just want to let you know that if you lay out your folders that way, that's the way it will read it. I wish they would fix that, but I needed to let you know how it works. Let's put this unit through its paces, and I'll show you exactly how this works. I'm going to press play on the remote, and it's going to beep at me. And it'll take a few seconds to boot this folder up. It'll take a few seconds to load this up, because it has to look at the files and the folder structure. Okay, so we've come to the first folder, or the first file by Gary Stewart. This is in the root folder. Let's forget that we're married. And I'll show you the scanning speed. I have it on 2. Let's be single. Get speed tonight. Okay, now I'm going to hit the track forward button, which, if you got your remote control clipped on your belt, you press down on it. Move down. Okay. We're still in the Gary Stewart folder. Okay, now it has to jump to the Live folder and play the individual MP3 file here. And it's playing again another file. Now it's jumping to the Matchbox 20 folder and it's playing the file that's the MP3 file in that root of that folder. Okay, it's still in the Matchbox 20 folder. Now it's in Pearl Jam. Okay, I'm going to there's a bunch of Pearl Jam that I'm jumping by here. And I'm trying to find a folder so I can show you the directory mode. We're almost done with the Pearl Jam. That's the last one in there. Okay, it's jumping back to the Gary Stewart folder. It went back up to the top, and it's playing the Brotherly Love album. And if you want to skip this album entirely, jump this whole folder without pressing the button 10 times, here is what you do. This is not documented in the manual, and I actually got this tip from Michael Lang, so thanks for that. What you do is you hold this track button down, you do click, click, hold. So you press it twice, 1, 2, and hold that. So see if you can hear this in the microphone. Oops, no, I clicked it twice, I did it wrong. You have to do it exactly, you gotta get the hang of it. We're on track 3 of Brotherly Love. So let's see if I can get this right. Click, click, and hold. And we get a few beeps. We get 3 beeps, in fact. Now it jumped to... what album is this? This is Little Junior. So we want to skip to the next album. We hit click, click, hold. And it played the 3 beeps. And we're on to... this album is Steppin' Out by Gary Stewart. We're still in the Gary Stewart folder. We want to do it again. We go... okay, we jump to Gary Stewart and Dean Dillon, Those Were the Days. We hit it again.
You're not the woman.
Okay, so that's You're Not the Woman Used to Be. That's the last album in here in the Gary Stewart folder. We click it again. And it jumped to the first show in the live folder. And you have to hold this down, of course. Now it jumped to the MTV Unplugged in Live. Click, click, hold. And it jumped to the 99X performance of Live. So that's the directory feature, and it works the same backwards. We can skip back a folder. Click, click, and hold. And we jump back to MTV Unplugged. Click, click, and hold. We jump back to the Holland performance. Click, click, and hold. And we go back to You're Not the Woman You Used to Be by Gary Stewart. Okay, we hit stop there. Now, here's where, if I want to turn this off, and it'll remember the position of the last 10 CDs you have in here. So I can hit, I can hold the stop button. And it turned off. That demonstrates those features for that CD. Now I'm going to demonstrate the plus 10 feature. Now this is very handy. In fact, I'd say it's almost a lifesaver for certain situations. I'm going to use an old-time radio CD, an MP3 CD, again for this demonstration. And this is the plus 10 feature, and I haven't found this to be possible on the remote. I don't think that it can be done. Which is a little bit of a shame, but you only need to use this every once in a while, but when you do need to use it, you really need it. So here's the purpose of this, and I actually have to turn this on. I put in the disc of the Whistler, and I know by checking the CD in my computer that I need file 45. It's down the list. So I'm going to use remote to turn it on at least, because it switched off on me. And it's going to have to boot up and look at the CD and get the folder. This is especially handy if you've got folders that it's all one long list of files.
Wait a minute. Have you heard
okay,
the Whistler?
So we're on file 1. Now I press the plus 10 button, which is the first button on the left, which is facing toward you.
Wait a minute.
That's going to be file 11. We press it again,
wait,
we get file 21, file 31. File 41.
Listen at the close of this program.
Okay, and when I'm near it, I'm near it now. So I go 2, 3, 4, and I think this is where my last one was. I'm going to use the skip to go.
For a moment, I'd like to make a suggestion about your car. Valuable station. Your lights are up for dead. Lubrication car.
All right, that's the Signal Oil commercial.
And keeping up our next...
let's see where we are. See if this is where I need to be. Gotta go
in the hot mother appears against the storm-lashed lightning street on her outskirts. John, tell me, is one Bill Smith?
Okay.
Otherwise known
this isn't,
as number 1040.
This isn't exactly where I need to be, but it's close. Let's see where I am now. As I said, this is not, it's not going to be, in other words, it's better than pressing it 40 times or something.
Stands an ancient mansion called the Cypresses.
Okay, we're real close to where I need to be.
The Whistler.
We're, you know, 40 files down or something like that.
A quick handling. Signals safety chart lubrication.
Yeah, there's a bunch of commercials. But all I had to do was press this plus 10 key on the left-hand side here, and it jumped me 10 files at a time. Okay, I paused the recording while I got where I wanted to be. Now I can take the CD out, and I can put it in at a little later date, providing that I haven't put more than 10 CDs in, and I can be right where I need to be to start listening again. The only bad thing about the unit remembering where you are in your CDs is that if you've got a long list of MP3s on the MP3 CD, it's hard to get back to the beginning. But to solve that, you can just put in a bunch of CDs to where you lose your position on there. But it's not too big of a problem, and it's a really good feature to have. I'd rather have it than not have it. You can turn it off if you really don't want it, but it's on by default. That's the plus 10 feature. That's, again, the button on the left side. And, again, I haven't found it to be possible on the remote, though there was a setting in the menus that you can either have the plus 10 or you can have the directory mode, like the click-click-hold thing I was showing you before. Looks like you can change that if you want to. You can change the function of the buttons on the remote as well, but I prefer to leave them where they are because they're confusing enough. Okay, I'm selecting another CD to show you another feature of the unit. This time I chose an audio CD because it really doesn't matter what you put in. Okay, I've selected this song here because I want to show you the program feature. That's the second button on the left. It's right above the plus 10 key.
Who's almost a lady.
I'm going to press it now. Program.
She had a way with all the men in her life.
I'm going to press it again.
She had a way with all the men in her life. She had a way with all the men.
That's useful if you're listening to an old time radio program.
She had a way.
And you press it again to stop it.
Every inch of
that's useful, as I said, if you're listening to an old-time radio program and it's a bad-quality program and you can't understand what they're saying. Hit the program key. You can do this while you're playing it or in pause mode. So go back a little bit and find you the position before you want, and then hit the program button. Then after the sequence is over, hit the program again. It'll keep repeating that until you hit the program button again. That's again the second button on the left, up from the plus 10 key. Okay, I paused the recording for a second to check my notes, and it looks like we're done with this John Prine song for now, and I'm going to show you the FM radio. Now, the CD FM button is the topmost button on the left. That's okay, the buttons again are from the left, it's plus 10, then the program, then the mode, which we don't need to use, and then the last button at the top is CDFM. On the unit, you hit the button once. On the remote control, you have to hit the volume button, which is again on the right, but you have to hold it in. If you don't hold it in, you get into the shuffle modes. So I'll use the remote button and hold it in like this. Alright, that's the radio. I think I have it set on the rock station here. And I'll use the forward and the back button to scan stations. If I hit it once, forward.
These are not only decorative.
That goes 1 point ahead. So if you're in the UK or countries that use the 0.0.2.4 system, for having your radio stations, you can set those by that. But the handy feature is that if I hold this in, I don't mean hold the wheel in, or I don't mean hold the button in. I mean leave the wheel turned in, or on the joypad you hold the button in. It beeps twice, and it finds the next best station, the next clearest station. And it's just a bit slower than I'd like, but at least it's there. And I'm clicking through the station. Sometimes it doesn't quite do it right. It sometimes misses. And I'm going backwards, by the way.
So that's the FM radio. There's nothing much to it. I'm going to hold the button in, and we go back to our CD. It has to boot up again because it's been set in still. The only thing I don't like about the radio system, and I suppose it can't be helped, is that there are presets, but it's a hassle to do because you have to memorize all the menu commands. In other words, you'd have to go in there and you'd have to arrow over and say, okay, this is preset 4 that I'd like this station to be at. And what happens is that you'd have to go through the menu system. So it's easier just to scan through the stations like you are. And if you only have a couple of stations you'll listen to, it may be easy enough just to scan through those. Okay, that's enough for the John Prine for now. That's all the features that I've used. As I said, it has an equalizer, but I haven't found a need to use it actually yet. I thought I would have definitely had to use it and would have learned the menu options, especially because of my old-time radio programs that I have. You know, some of them can be really terrible quality, and you have to adjust the settings. At least when I listen to them on my computer, I have to take the bass boost off and sometimes have to use the Winamp equalizer to change settings. But I found that the internal workings of the machine has a nice balance of the sound so that you don't actually have to change the equalizer for most things. There's, as I said, the presets. There's rock and classical and things like that, but I haven't had a need to use it yet. And as I said, the presets are the only other thing that seems to be pretty much hard to do or kind of inaccessible. But that's easy enough to get around by just scanning through your stations. And your stations may be close together or whatever. Or you may prefer a certain station. But other than that, the unit is very usable. I wouldn't have a reason not to buy it. And as I said, beware of the refurbished units because of the lack of the AC adapter. And you can get the latest firmware updates at RioVolt.com, RioHome.com, or SonicBlue.com. It pretty much has the same website. I don't see a difference. You go to the support section and you can find the manual while not being up to date, and you can find the firmware guide, which is also not up to date. It's the 1.0 firmware. And to burn the firmware into the unit, you could just copy that file onto the CD. And make sure not to change it, by the way, because it looks for that exact file. I don't see why you would change it, but just don't. And make sure to plug the unit into the wall while you're updating the firmware, which only takes a minute. The CD will stop, the screen will clear. You can actually hear it go, you can actually hear it turn off if you listen carefully. That's about all I have for the unit. I hope it's been a worthwhile review for you to listen to. I hope that it encourages you to use the unit to the best of your ability, and I hope that the tips and tricks that I've learned while using the unit will help you enjoying the unit better. Because I figure that if you get the unit and you were to play around with it without this review, like I have, you we'll have to have a study person set it for you at least 3 or 4 times after you've messed up the settings. So I hope that this review has helped you avoid the pitfalls and you'll be able to hear it and follow along with me on the unit. If you need to contact me with any questions about the review or any problems you might have, you can email me, MatthewBullis@Runbox.com. That's MatthewBullis at Runbox.com. That's RUNBOX.com. But I can't think of anything else to review about this unit. I really enjoy it. I'm very happy with it. And it'll serve all my CD player needs. I can hook it up to my stereo. I can take it with me. I can listen to my audio CDs. I can use rewritable CDs on it. And I can also play data CDs with MP3 files. Once again, my email address for correspondence is MatthewBullis@Runbox.com. That's MatthewBullis at Runbox.com. RUNBOX.com. Thanks a lot for listening.